Be in communion. I'm going to set aside our John series this morning and give a communion meditation. So if you turn with me, we'll still have something authored by John. We'll go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'm glad it's communion day. I believe God can draw especially close to us as we share this table together with Him. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Father, we commit the preaching of the word to you by your Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Prepare us for this communion. May this be a very meaningful communion. May it all just become real all over again today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I ran across a quote this week that I've been unable to get away from because it strikes me as being so true of all humanity. Here's the quote. People go to the Wailing Wall. People go to Mecca. People go to church, all for the same reason. They want that feeling of being pure, of being clean. You know, a bath is a very personal thing, so thankfully we don't often talk about that in public. But I'm going to risk it this morning to point out an observation I think we've all found is true. I'm continually amazed. I don't know if you are. I mean, at 57, I've had a lot of them. I'm sure you're glad to know. But I'm still amazed of how you get that wonderfully clean, new, refreshed feeling after a good bath. Amen. This is time you better say amen or people's going to wonder. I think there's few feelings in life like that feeling. It's not just that your body gets clean. It just seems to do something to the you, all of you, the inner you. I've marveled, and I hope you don't think I'm stretching things, but I think that feeling after a good bath is very close and kin to the feeling of being born again. It's just new. It's just fresh. Just clean. But I'm here to preach this morning, if the mere bathing of the body can make us feel so good, just think what the feeling is when it's not our body, but our heart and our mind and our soul has been washed clean. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, amen. You know, I don't mind getting dirty, but if I've been out working and I've gotten dirty, I can't wait to get home to take a bath. I don't want to eat. I don't want to sleep. I don't want to just hang out. I've got one thing on my mind, and that's a bath. I want to tell you, it ought to be that way. We ought to have this desire that we want a cleansing, a fresh renewing. As much as we desire the bathing of our bodies, we should relish the bathing of our hearts, the bathing of our souls, the bathing of our minds. And thank God there is one. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Think of what it'd be like if there was no washing for the mind. Think what it'd be like if there was no washing of the soul. How many can just say, I'm so glad I can lift up a hand and say, I'm clean. I'm clean by the blood of Jesus. I'm clean. I'm preaching so basic this morning, but I want to note first of all, and I'm speaking spiritually, but we need a bath. We need a bath. You know, that's something, especially as an adult, you never want somebody to have to tell you. You need a bath. But reading Scripture, I'm compelled to tell us we need a bath. We need a bath. You know, the obvious is if we didn't get dirty, we wouldn't even have bathtubs or showers in our homes. Those fixtures are there because the reality is we get dirty. And as you're going to see, we shouldn't play coy with this morning, because I'm talking to Christians about to come to the communion table, but we get dirty. Amen. I want you to know in verse 7 very carefully here, though I've already read it, if you would read these with me again, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying it's an inclination of all of us Christians that when we hear about the washing away of sin and the cleansing of sins and the confessing of sins, we begin to think of people who don't know the Lord. We think of sinners. We think of those out there in the world, and boy, they need to get cleansed. They need to get washed in the blood. Our minds tend to go immediately to them. But what I want you to notice here is the apostle is writing to a Christian congregation. It's a letter to Christians. And he says, not if the sinner confesses their sins or if the world confesses their sins. He says, if we, even in that editorial word there, he's including himself. He says, if we confess our sin. Now, make no mistake, lots of people are eager to confess other folks' sins. Right? But if we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need a bath. We just have, first of all, we need to confess that we have sins. We have sins that need to be cleansed away. I want you to quickly, brother, if you could take us back to verse 7. And this is a matter to make a point, but it's also a matter to rejoice. There's two types of sin John's talking about. Here's the first kind. He said, if we walk in the light, those things happen. But if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The first kind of sin that we have is a sin we're not really aware of. It's not been brought to our consciousness. We've not been convicted of it. We may not even be aware of it. We're not aware of it. But look at the promise that if we are Christians, if we are believers, if we walk in the light, if we're born again, even those sins we don't know about, Jesus' blood is constantly and continually and without cessation, his blood is cleansing us from all sin. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Oh, hallelujah. There's another type of sin, not the unconscious, the unconvicted sin, but there's the conscious sin, the sin that needs to be confessed. If you'll go back to verse 9, this is different. We're human. We're fallen. We have those sins that need to be continually cleansed by his blood, and thankfully he does that. But there's another type of sin. It's a sin we know it's off. We know it's wrong. We know things aren't right. We know we shouldn't have done it. We shouldn't have said it. We shouldn't have thought it. There's those conscience sins that thankfully the Spirit convicts us of. And those sins are not immediately cleansed by the blood of Jesus. They require something first. That is that we confess them. That we confess them. And can I stop to tell you right here that the word confess literally has the meaning of agreement in it. When we confess our sins, we're agreeing with God. When he says that's not right, you shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have thought it. Amen. There's those sins that we must confess. But thankfully, I said we need a bath. That's the point I'm making. There's things to be confessed. But thankfully, it's not just we confess our sins. It's he's faithful and just to cleanse us. Oh, and I like the word cleanse. It literally means to remove by washing. Oh, how many knows he removes our sins? sins by washing. Amen. He cast them in the sea of God's forgetfulness as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Yes, we need a bath. Our need of cleansing is not periodic. It's continual at our best as the redeemed, as the born again. I am not saying that we have to sin. What I am saying is even as believers, we do sin. And any doctrine, any theology, any proclamation against that just doesn't deal with reality. We need a bath. You say, I didn't come to church. Tell me I need a bath. I'm just telling you what God's word says. Oh, hallelujah. To confess our sins. Amen. You know, the truth of the matter is, even in the natural scheme of things, I won't take a bath unless I see the need of one. And it's awful shape, literally speaking, when someone gets into such a place that they don't realize their need for a bath. And could I say the worst place to get spiritually is to think that the bath 10 years ago was enough and you don't need one today. I'm talking about communion. We need his blood today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get dirty. You get dirty. Why don't we just confess it this morning at his table? Hallelujah. Lord, I need a cleansing. Amen. Nothing is sin anymore, whether in the world or in the church. Nothing is sin except naming something as sin. That's the only sin. How many of them tell you the truth? The only sin in our society is to name something as sin. Amen. But however you parse it, amen, our world's fascination with evolution is not scientific, it's moral. People have found a way to get rid of sin, or so they think, by believing in evolution, in believing no creator. They say we have gotten rid of the sense that we have sin that needs to be removed. But I'm here to say you can't get rid of sin, but denying it, it's still there. Amen. You may get rid of the idea of sin, but you've not gotten rid of sin. Let me tell you why those who believe in evolution have cheated themselves. Let me tell you why a world that has followed that godliness have cheated themselves. It's this simple truth. If there's no sin, there's no forgiveness. You can deny sin, but what you cannot deny, it's this human race. Amen. Whether they admit it or not, every member of the human race has this great need in their heart to be forgiven. And if you take away sin, you take away the ability to be forgiven. If you take away dirt, there's no need for a bath. Amen. You say, why do you preach about sin? Because it's real. But secondly, I preach about sin because when people realize that there's a sin, that there's something to confess, then they can be cleansed. Then they can be washed, and being cleansed, they can be forgiven. Hallelujah. It's our need. It's our need to be forgiven. People feel guilty. They don't want to admit personal guilt, so they project that on that society. I'm not here to make a political statement. I tell you, that's all that is about. Wanting to get rid of plastic straws because some sea turtle choked on one. That's nothing but an extrapolation of individual guilt upon society. Not wanting to admit that I have sin. I've got to make a sin, environmental sin or ecological sin. Make no mistake, that's a religion, and the sin is plastic straws, and the Savior is the government. And I'm going to tell you, when it's all said and done, extrapolate it, project it upon society, but when it's all said and done, they still have that individual guilt that they need forgiven of. That's why I'm glad I can preach about the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll move on in a moment, but I feel such an urgency. It's not just the world that's tried to get rid of the idea of sin and the need of a cleansing. So has the modern church. You can listen to hours of services and preaching, and sin is never mentioned. You see, here's the point. If you don't mention sin, soon you'll quit mentioning the Savior. Because the need of the Savior comes from the reality of sin. Amen. And so the modern push is to constantly and exclusively emphasize God's love and God's blessing and relegate sin out of the picture, never preaching repent, because there's nothing to repent of. Amen. The feeling is that I just need more encouragement from God. I need my ego energized. I need to be told that God has a plan for multiple blessings to come to me. Amen. And yet I am left with puffed up promises and a mesmerized me. And yet the guilt is still in the core of my being. My conscience is still bothered. I'm still troubled. Amen. The modern church has gotten rid of sin to get rid of the need of the cleansing. Amen. They rarely speak of the blood of Jesus. Fewer and fewer songs on the cross and the blood and on Calvary. The truth of the matter is, if you're not confessing your sins, you're not confessing your need of a Savior. But I'm here to say, I need a Savior. I need a Savior because I have sin. Amen. Amen. John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, in the waning years of his life, he admitted that he was growing old. And he said, although my memory's fading, I remember two things clearly. I am a great sinner, and he is a great Savior. Oh, hallelujah. I want to live right there. I want to finish my life right there. I'm a great sinner, but he's a great Savior. We need a bath. Not only do we need a bath, we must want a bath. Why do parents have to tell their children to take baths? Because they don't want to take one. You with young children, you'll say, go take a bath. I don't want to take a bath. When that doesn't fly, they try the next excuse. I don't need one. They can have dirt 3 inches thick behind their ears and around their neck, matted in their hair. I don't need a bath. Amen. You see, we don't want a bath if we don't see our need for one. You can make a child take a bath. An adult, that's another matter. Moving right along. I said, not only do we need a bath, we must want a bath. You say, well, how's that work? Just simply knowing I need one. Look what it says in verse 8. John's prepared for any objections to what I'm preaching. And he said, if we say we have no sin. Again, the we is Christians, right? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now here John is speaking of the sinful nature. Thank God we're born again. Thank God we have a new person, a new being, a new nature. But any preaching is that when you get saved, somehow you get that fallen nature, that old you completely cut out. That's not right. Paul said you bury it, it'll dig itself up. That's why he said reckon it dead. But it's not gone. We deal with it. And so John says, if we say we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves. But there's not just the sinful nature that we have. We slip up. We stumble. We fall into sin. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, that's specific acts, we make him a liar. Right? And his word is not in us. I'm not trying to be facetious, but I want to tell you this constant preaching that something other than sin is the problem, and that once you're a believer, you don't have sin, can't sin, won't sin. However strongly they preach, that's not his word that you're hearing. Because John said, if you say that, his word is not in you. Amen. I won't take a bath unless I see my need. Amen. We've got to want it. I don't know how you are, but I want the washing of the blood. Well, you say, well, I still don't think Christians ever sin. It's probably the first sin right there, that's the sin of pride that would say that. But what about the unkind word? What about the selfishness, the look of lust, thinking ill of another, the unbridled anger, the yelling at the driver, the gossip? Those are the easy ones. The covetousness, the jealousy, the apathy, the indifference, the thoughts against another. You know, those that would make this all about the positive, God's good, we're good, everything's good, everybody's good. You know what they remind me of in this scenario of taking a bath? They remind me of somebody that needs to take a bath, but instead of taking a bath, they just spray on more perfume or cologne. I'm good. Ch-ch-ch-ch. I'm okay. Ch-ch-ch-ch. I don't need to confess. Ch-ch-ch-ch. Well, maybe you need to think about that one for a while. It's appearance. It's not reality. Amen. When we got rid of sin and our need of being cleansing, we lost a lot of things in our worship. I've really been thinking a lot about this, and I'll probably mention it more, but I've been thinking about why have so many churches lost their joy and exuberance and praise in worship? I thought a lot about this. Some say, well, we need to get another band or a different band, or we need to do something to get that joy. I really, really believe here's the root of why so many churches have lost the joy in worship. Because the joy in worship in a church used to come from one or two sources. Number one, the saint was overjoyed knowing that he had been a great sinner and God had washed away their sins. And they were rejoicing that their sins were gone. They weren't going to hell. They had been saved. The other thing, source of joy, is when other people who've not yet known the Lord come in and have their sins washed away and to know that they're clean. And I don't know if I'm onto something or not, but I really believe it's true. You show me a Christian that's joyful in their worship, and I'll show you a Christian who's never forgot how he's washed away their sins. Amen. Oh, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood. Amen. Here's a scripture for it. I don't have time to go into it, but Jesus says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. That's why this woman's doing this act of worship. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I don't think Jesus is saying, you know, Steve, he was a big sinner and he's been forgiven a lot. And so he worships a lot. And his wife, she was just a little sinner. She didn't do much wrong. She's been forgiven little. And so she don't have much worship. I think this is the mindset of the worshiper. When you think, I was a huge sinner and I had a whole lot to be forgiven, you worship. When you think, I've just had a little to be forgiven of, amen, you don't worship much. You don't. I'm telling you, those who serve God all out, they love God all out, they worship with joy and thanksgiving, are those who truly believe, I was a great sinner, but he's cleansed, he's washed away my sin. Hallelujah. It isn't that we have a lot to be forgiven of so much as that we don't see that which we do have need to be forgiven of. I was thinking, was it Wednesday night we were singing at Calvary? I love this verse. By God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Until my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. You know what he said? He said, by God's word, I realized I needed a bath. And I trembled at how dirty I was. But that trembling at my wrong, being told I needed a bath, caused my guilty soul imploring turn. It caused me to turn to Calvary, and there I was washed. There I was cleansed. Oh, to cry with David, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Next of all, today we cannot bathe ourselves. Verse 9 is very clear. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You see, this spiritual cleansing takes two things. It takes confessing, our confessing, and his cleansing. There's no forgiveness without cleansing, and there's no cleansing without confession. You see, because of its effect on our souls, we can liken confession to a bath on this body. But you see, confessing your sin is merely like getting in to the bathtub. It's not enough just to get into the bathtub. Amen. You also must be washed. Amen. Some folks are with church like an 8-year-old boy is taking a bath. Go take a bath. He gets in, amen, and he gets out, never brandishes the washcloth, never utilizes the soap or shampoo, just in and out. Did you take your bath? Yes, I took my bath. Amen. The point is, simply to confess, to admit your sin, is only the first part of the process. That's getting into the tub, and thank God for that. But there has to be a washing. There must be a washing and a cleansing. We cannot bathe ourselves. Others may confess, an atheist confess, or at least concede that he's done wrong. Hallelujah. But you can bathe your own body, but you cannot bathe your soul. Amen. Mothers with small children, they know this. When your children are small, they cannot bathe themselves. They must be bathed. But there's other classes who cannot bathe themselves. And that's the injured and the sick. And can I tell you, spiritually, when there's sin and wrong in our life, we are injured. We are sick. Amen. We cannot bathe ourselves. Amen. But listen, we only need to confess. We only need to step in the tub, as it were. He's the one that does the bathing. He's the one that does the cleansing. He's the one that does the washing. Oh, that's a relief to know. See, on one hand, you can be draw back. We can't bathe ourselves. Amen. That's both a cause of alarm, but it's a cause of great relief. Amen. Because what we can't do, he does. Oh, that's what I told the one that called me last night. If you'll confess your sins, you can trust that he'll take them away. He'll wash them away. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Two things must come together if my sins are washed away. Two things have to come together. Number one, I must admit I have messed things up. And number two, I can't undo them. I can't change it. I'm not talking about making retribution. I'm talking about the guilt and the condemnation and the sin. I've messed things up and I can't undo them. I'm wrong and I can't fix it. There's nothing I can do to rid myself of guilt and shame and the stain of sin. Some people get this. They get that they can't cleanse themselves, and so they begin to believe they can't be clean. Even I want to tell you this morning, you know the wrong's there, and you realize you cannot cleanse yourself, but that doesn't mean you can't be clean, because what you can't cleanse, he can and he will. Oh, hallelujah. If we confess our sins, he'll cleanse us from all. How many knows there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, forgiven and washed and cleansed. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for this truth? We can't. Could we go to... Well, that's it. That's where I want. Didn't have my glasses on. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Well, I don't know if I'll be forgiven this time. It's been 20 times I've done this. Admittedly, there's a problem somewhere there, but I don't know if I'll be forgiven this time. Well, this thing was really bad. I don't know if I'll be forgiven of this. It was really bad. Listen, you and what you're done is not in the equation of whether you can be clean or not. It's he. I said he is faithful and just. There's no limitation to his cleansing power. Don't tell me this is one sin he can't forgive. You've just limited the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I said his blood is able to cleanse. Oh, somebody ought to shout glory. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise. praise his name. We cannot bathe ourselves. He is faithful and just. I can't take a bath without water. The water has to come from outside of my home. Oh, I cannot cleanse myself with anything about me. The water, if you will, has to come from another source outside of me. The child can get in the bath, but mom must wash. But it takes something else. It takes the means of washing, the medium. It takes water for the child. And with us, Jesus has that means. It's called his blood. Aren't you glad for the blood this morning? It's the blood that washes away. Not religion. It's the blood. The blood that washes away. Last of all this morning, we should appreciate the bath. Look in chapter 1, verse 2. Paul goes on to say, my little children, these things I write unto you, talking to Christians, that you sin not. Some have such an aversion to the truth under the guise of being righteous that when a preacher begins to preach that we as Christians have sin, they say, oh, he's just doing that because he's trying to justify his sin or somebody else's. But I just shared with you what John said, but here's what John said after it was all said and done. He said, I'm not writing these things so you can presumptuously sin. I'm not writing these things so you can think you can practice sin and still be a believer. I'm just writing to let you know that we do sin. And his blood's the only thing that will cleanse, and he will cleanse us. And he said, in case you think that I'm off track here, he said, I want you to know this. I've really written that you don't sin. So how can knowing that he'll wash away our sin bring us to the place that we don't sin? I'll tell you how. If we're really, 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 really appreciative that he's forgiven our sin, we won't want to sin. That license that, you know, God's already taken care of my sin so I can live the way I want and do what I want because his blood washed it away. That license is the most ungrateful approach to the blood of Jesus. If I'm really grateful my sins are gone, I won't want to sin. Hallelujah. Amen. We should appreciate, mom says to the child, as she has bathed him and dressed him clean, she says to her child, now don't go get dirty. You've just had a bath. And I won't, even as adults, we think that way. I've just got cleaned up and something needs done out in the yard. And I say, I don't want to do that. I've just had a bath. I don't want to spoil it. And I'm telling you, it's the same way spiritually. If you've been washed, there's an attitude. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to think that because I've just had a bath. I've just been cleansed by his blood. To sin again and keep on sinning is not something we should want to do when we've been cleansed and forgiven and relieved. Hallelujah. Never should we have this attitude. Since I've just had a bath, I can go play in the mud knowing mom will give me another one. We don't have that attitude, but grateful and thankful. We say, he's forgiven me. I don't want to sin again. Amen. I don't want to be put back in a position where I need that cleansing again. I may get there, but I'm not going to purposely put myself there. I want to tell you what this message means to me as I was praying about it. A thought just came to me, and I'm not talking from Christ in the cross. I'm talking from my end of the cross. And I begin to pray, now Lord, I could have some doubts whether you have forgiven me the sins that I recently asked you to forgive me of. You know, I was praying that way, and I just heard in my soul, now wait a minute, Lord, all those sins I committed as a child and confessed as a child, you forgave those. And all those sins I committed as a teenager, I confess them and you forgave those. How many can lift a hand right now with the psalmist and said, I'm so glad that God does not remember the sins of my youth. He forgave the sins of my childhood. He forgave the sins of my teenage years. He forgave the sin of my young adult years. He forgave the sin of my young married couple years. He even forgave the sin of my middle-aged years. And now he's forgiven my sins of the season I find myself in right here, right now. I'm telling you why. Because if I confess, he's faithful. It's up to him. He's just. And because he's done that, I don't feel anything that's in me saying, well, why don't you go out and sin and do this and enjoy that? Because because he'll wash it. I say, no, Lord, because you've made me clean, because you've washed my heart, I'm going to live righteously and purely and godly in this present evil world. Would you come, music? I'll never forget, several years ago, I was in a hurry to get out to youth camp during the day and going down 35. I don't know where my mind was, but I entered the intersection on a red light at 55 miles an hour. And I looked up in time to see a sheriff in the left turn lane from the opposite direction looking right at me. I could feel, you know how you cringe behind you? You can feel it coming. I cringe. Brother Brock, I just knew he was going to turn those sirens on, do a U-turn, pull me over, give me this huge ticket. I cringed to the next light. He never followed me. He had seen me. He knew what I did. He was looking at the light. He's looking at me. Maybe he had something else on his mind. So let me tell you, when I realized I wasn't going to get a ticket, you know what I did? I said, that's great. I'm going to run the next red light. No, sir. I was so grateful that I started stopping 1,000 feet from the next light. I'm talking about the real attitude about sin and confession and being washed. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I have listened because that's not my department, but I hear ladies talking about a stain in clothing or a stain in the carpet. I've got this stain, one says. The other said, I know just what. We'll get it out. Amen. Amen. The other says, oh, what is it? It's this. I had a stain that was this big and it was awful and it was greasy and I sprayed this on it and look, you can't even see his stain was there. No, I can't. Amen. Amen. And I told you I don't listen half to that because I'm not that interested because that's not my department. Amen. And that's it. It's that way. If you don't have stains or think you have stains in your life, it means nothing for me to tell you that his blood will remove it. But if you know something about a stain and you begin to hear, there's something that'll take that out. There's something that will remove that. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad his blood can wash away our sin? Thank God for a church that this message never gets old in. I'll tell you why it doesn't get old. Because you realize what Paul said. He said, unrighteousness, fornication, adultery will never enter there. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Do I have any washed folks here? That's why you don't get tired of the message. You know what he washed you from. And what he is washing you from. Amen. Would you stand across the building for a moment? Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to read Psalms and I'm done. If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. There's forgiveness because there's cleansing. And there's cleansing when we confess. And so thankfully I could tell the person last night, there's forgiveness. And we prayed. And the person said, oh, I feel forgiven. Please forget the crudeness. It's because she had a bath and the sin truly was gone. We're going to serve communion. And as we pray, I'm going to ask the servers to come. But if you're here, either now or after communion, and you've never had your heart washed by the blood of Jesus, or you've become defiled in sin and world, you can feel free to come to these steps. We use as an altar. Folks will pray with you. And you can know that your sins, there's nothing else will do. I'm through preaching. Let's pray together. In fact, let me do this. I just want to ask you, church, to lift up your hands. Come ahead, servers. But church, would you lift up your hands and thank God for the cleansing of the blood of Jesus? Would you thank him? Oh, go ahead and thank him. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, listen to me. I'm not divulging anything confidential. But someone expressed to me before church about partaking of communion unworthily. I get that. That's a great attitude. But let me tell you something. Some folks say, well, I don't want to partake of this communion because I've been doing some things I should have done and I'll be a hypocrite. You will be a hypocrite if you partake of this communion to try to throw people off the scent and divert their attention, and so they'll think that you're okay and you're all right. But there's nothing hypocritical about this morning as we're serving communion, saying, Lord, there's some things in my mind, heart, and life that ought not to be there. Lord, would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me? Right where you sit, before you even lift the cup, he'll wash your heart and your mind and your life. Oh, hallelujah. Congregation, be seated. If you profess to be a believer, we invite you to partake communion with us. We just ask that you wait till everybody's been served and we'll partake of it together. Blood is our victory. Could you stand with grateful heart? Hallelujah. This do in remembrance of me. He who knew no sin became sin. Amen. Before we partake of the bread, Brother Niswonger, would you mind ask the blessing on the bread this morning? Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus' name. Thank you. Let's partake together. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Amen. Brother Kroger, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the cup? Yes, thank you. Amen. Amen. Think cleansing as you partake. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I'm clean through his blood. Clean through his blood. Hallelujah. I'm clean through his blood. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Clean through his blood. He cleanses my mind, my heart, my emotions, my soul, my innermost being. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a little bit of Amazing Grace. And if you're here, whether you are unbeliever in the sense that you've not given your life to Christ, or believer, if you sense your need to pray, I want you to know these altars are open. If you'll come and pray, folks will be praying with you. But I just want you to know there's a cleansing. There's a cleansing. There's a cleansing. Hallelujah.
Amazing.
Bless me. Do you need his cleansing this morning? Do you need his cleansing? I was lost. Do you need his cleansing? Amen. If we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Cleanse us. Hallelujah. Sing that verse again. I'm a great sinner and he's a great Savior. The sound, all that saved a wretch like me, and I once was lost. Oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now. Let's just sing praise God, praise God, praise God.
Praise God,
praise God, I'm clean. Praise God, I've been washed.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God,
praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. 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 Oh, hallelujah. These altars are always open, but we conclude our communion service with an expression of our love one to another, because communion's always been about not just our fellowship with the Lord, but our fellowship as fellow washed ones, fellow cleansed ones, redeemed. Amen. Would you express your love one to another? Amen. Come early to pray tonight. Let's expect the Lord.